One of the things that was helpful was understanding how many people in the audience were actually had already partners, or how many were interested.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't.
Or have existing you know, things that are working that may require a partner. I feel like partnerships are a lot of different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as far as live audience, I don't know. As far as Maverick MBA overall, and there's a few hundred entrepreneurs in there. I'm not totally sure all the demographics around that. I know Next members, they're about, I think about a little bit less than half of them have partners. So overall, I think it'll be really helpful in terms of, even if they're not on live, the recorded content, and then we're going to get it transcribed as well and pull out some of the main notes. Will be really helpful for the audience there.
Are we almost ready?
Yep. Here, I'm going to make James a panelist as well. Hey, James.
Yep.
Cool. Share your video. Just say hi.
Yeah. Didn't know we were doing video sharing. I'm in my workout stuff.
No, that's okay. So I'm apparently in my karate stuff. So we're good. So we'll start the broadcast in May here. What was that?
We're all black.
So we're going to start the broadcast in a minute here. So Tony and Craig, have you guys met James? Did you guys meet him in San Diego?
I didn't know.
I did not meet Tony. I met Craig briefly.
Cool.
Good to meet you.
One of these days you'll have to meet Craig non-briefly.
I was pretty drunk when I met Craig.
Maybe briefs. Maybe without his briefs.
I was drunk or you were drunk?
James,
I was drunk or you were drunk? I probably wasn't drunk. You were.
Yeah, no, I was hammered.
Anyway, so I'll hit the start broadcast button here in a minute. So James is just saying I'll introduce Tony and Craig. They'll go into a bit of their background as far as their partnership and roles and responsibilities and how they work together. And then I have a ton of leading questions from there. So James, I'll introduce you in the beginning as well, and then just kind of mostly just sit and listen in. And if any good questions pop up for you, because you and I have the similar relationship to, I think, what Craig and Tony have. So there might be an interesting dynamic here as far as, you know, Mavericks to more of like next level entrepreneurs and asking, you know, asking questions and learning in a very direct way there. So with that, I'll go ahead and start the broadcast.
The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen only mode.
And we are recording. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for making the time out of your day to join us on the Maverick MBA class today. Really excited as we're going to talk about partnerships and this unique and essential combination to really give kind of greater rocket fuel to your business. So as many of you in the audience are watching this recording may relate to as entrepreneurs, you're very likely feel like a visionary in many ways. And it's often tough to get significant traction and execution at different stages of growth. And a lot of the discussion here is around forming the right kind of partnerships between visionary and execution, or as I often call them, is visionary and your integrator, and structuring the right kind of working relationship to really have that dynamic duo where you take off in your growth. So with that, I'm really excited to introduce Maverick members Tony Riccardi and Craig Hanley. So I'll kind of give their formal intros here and then a little bit of background. I've known these guys for about 4 years now, and they're really, really amazing individuals. So I'm excited to have this kind of casual but also formal and structured conversation with them today and pull out a lot of really great gold nuggets that may apply to you and your business as you're building and growing and looking for either the right partnership or looking to hire the right people with your organization. So a little bit about Tony firstly. So Tony is an entrepreneur at heart who loves to look for problems and then builds out these winning solutions and successful companies around those problems. So his career started going really well in the corporate sales and management world. And then for the past 10 years, he's been a significant driving force in multiple direct response and online ventures. And mostly recently with Craig, he's grown and expanded Listen Up Español, which they've now grown to over 100 million in cumulative sales and over 1,000 agents or team members within their organization. And Craig, Craig is a very unique entrepreneur, speaker, and philanthropist, an expert in marketing, marketing sales, kind of worldwide brand expansion. He is the CEO and founder of Revenue Enhancement Consultants and hugely successful with the business he has with Tony, Listen Up Español, which was recently named number one in business products and service on Inc. Magazine's 500 list, and I think number 27 overall on that list. And again, they have some really significant numbers that they can tout as far as how well this stuff has worked that we talked about. On a personal level, I've known these guys for 4 years through the Maverick events. They're also super fun, have a really amazing sense of lifestyle and joy and play, have a deep commitment to impact and contribution, and are, from my conversations with them, really great at teaching and sharing from their experiences in a way that other entrepreneurs can apply. And I've also seen them, we just mentioned some significant numbers of their success. I've also seen them at points where they were having greater challenges, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit today, and have really navigated through a lot to get to where they are today. So Tony and Craig, thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Awesome to be here.
And I'll quickly introduce James as well. So James Goulden is my business partner in Vision Tech Team, so the other company that I have. And James and I also have this similar relationship to what I believe Craig and Tony have. And James will be potentially jumping in with some questions throughout this conversation, throughout this interview, that may be insightful from the kind of operator integrator side of the business, where my questions more so come from the visionary side, as well as just facilitating this class for you guys. Awesome. So with that, Craig and Tony, maybe one of you, whichever one wants to kind of take a stab at this first. So just talk a little bit about, you know, you guys are clearly really successful with Listen Up Español and your main partnership. Talk a little bit about what each person's kind of key roles are, and how you've structured that so far in a way that works so well in a partnership.
Go ahead, Craig. And we actually just rebranded. We just rebranded to Listen Trust because we started taking a lot of calls in English. So
nice.
You said Listen to Espanol, which is the company that we've been for the last 10 years. But this year we've kind of moved to doing more English. So I want to make sure I covered that.
Cool.
So in our partnership, I do a lot of, it's funny, you know, it used to be Tony doing a lot of execution, and now he's kind of become as much of a visionary as I am. And then I used to be the guy doing all the visionary stuff, you know, and saying, here's the bigger vision. But roles have changed. You know, we've known each other now for 15 years, 16 years, 17. How long?
It's been a while. It's been about 12 years, 13, maybe 14.
Come on, it's been longer than that. Every time I say 18, he says 12. Anyway, it's been a long time. And over the years, the roles have kind of changed. And I think now I've gotten better at execution, and he's gotten better at kind of being the visionary around a lot of stuff. So what do you want to add to that, Tony?
I think there's a lot of ideas that can be made. In the beginning, it was all about ideas. As we matured as a company, we've put systems in place. We've made a lot of mistakes by thinking that we could do more with the existing resources that we had. So we're a lot more cautious as far as, having aspirations of doing everything, and everything's a good idea. And being a little bit more balanced on the entrepreneurial, optimistic side of every idea is a great idea and you can make money with it. But, you know, which ideas are the best ideas? How do they best fit? and which ones are going to actually be completed and make money. So that's, you know, Craig's still out on the fringe. I think Craig's unique ability would be he's very charismatic. He's connects dots really quick. He's probably one of the best people out there that is able to network and be able to find opportunities and bring them in. And, you know, what I typically do is I do the same thing, but I'm not as good as Craig with that. I'm really good at actually sizing up opportunities and connecting those opportunities to how they might be a fit for success in our company to service our clients.
Cool. I know in some books that I've read about this rocket fuel being one of them, it's very oftentimes, and James and I have this experience a lot, is very oftentimes the visionary role kind of comes up with a ton of different ideas, and then it's more of the execution role to filter those out to decide what actually gets into the company. Do you guys have kind of that similar dynamic where, and then if so, how do you kind of filter and decide what gets cut out and while still honoring the creative side of that?
One of the things that helped out in the past was a simple 2x2 that we started using. We haven't been using that much because we've been using more monthly and quarterly meetings and having a strategic annual meeting and laying out the strategy there. Any new opportunities would have to be introduced at the quarterly meeting to make sure that we have the resources to be able to execute on that. Otherwise, it's going to go into a delay bucket. And the part of the 2x2 allowed us to, you know, look at what are the low-hanging fruit that allows us to optimize revenue. What are some of the things that are going to be in the top left-hand quadrant that are going to take more investment and time, but we feel are good investments? You know, the bottom part is just the daily to-dos, and then the left lower part are things that great ideas, but we're not saying no, but we'll say we'll get to those when we have time. And I feel like for an idea guy, when you're saying no to all the opportunities because you don't have the resources, the idea guy gets a little pissed off. So having a delay bucket is not saying no, they're not good ideas. They're great ideas, but we just don't have the resources to work on them right now. And I think that helped out in the beginning until we were at a size where we need to have a lot more structure as far as annual strategy and then into our quarterly strategy sessions.
Cool. I like this 2x2 bucket idea. I'll get a graphical representation of that from you guys afterwards and post it here.
Sure.
On the as it stands now, now that you guys have kind of, it sounds like you've used that model for a while and you've evolved beyond it. How do you best use the visionary strengths in or I guess from either of you guys, but more especially from Craig's side, how do you use those strengths in kind of like the annual planning or strategic side of things?
It's more of a team effort now. I mean, we've got really good people that work with us, and we kind of lay out all of the different ideas, and as a group we say, you know, like we just put them on sticky notes and say, what are the ones we all think are, label them 1, 2, 3. And if we all just label them 1, 2, 3, we kind of look at which ones get the most votes and kind of say, okay, these are probably the ones we should do. So it's nice to have a lot of options. And, you know, as you kind of go through and label, like if I said, I think it's really important that, you know, we build social monitoring for our customer service team. For me, that might be one. For everybody else, it might be five. And so as we go through and kind of put numbers around, really voting on things, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, on each idea, you know, we kind of figure out which ones we probably all agree that we should execute on. And then once you get your executive team kind of pulling with you in the same direction, look, if Tony and I want to be able to work on the businesses that are in the business, we have to have our team kind of making the decision with us as to what we should be working on, because they need to be enthusiastic about it as well as us.
Can you talk a little bit about your team as far as, I mean, I know you guys have 1,000 people, so there's a lot of agents, but as far as the leadership team structure, like your top level org chart, and then how does each of you relate to that? Who reports to who? How does that work?
Well, I don't have anybody who reports to me. And there's a reason, because I've always been a really high performer personally, and I think I probably would fire anybody that tried to work directly for me. My expectations are like, you could do this. And the funny thing is that the people that we have in our executive team do kind of do this, so I kind of like them. But I thought early on, I think Tony and I kind of both thought that I was a bit more fluctuating in my emotions, and the way that I manage people sometimes isn't as clear. Sometimes I think I'm being as clear as day, and nobody knows what I'm talking about. And so we thought it would be best for me to kind of not have Tony can't wait to talk.
What Craig?
This is great. I see James smiling too.
So what Craig's saying is he's a poor communicator. And that's why Craig doesn't have like people that report to him. And we've tried that multiple times, and we just decided it just doesn't work. So, like, and that's kind of where I fit in as far as my role. I'm a little bit more structured. I like structure. I have a COO that reports to me, sales, and this. I only wanted three reports directly to me. I only have two. The CFO is actually reporting to my COO. So it kind of streamlines what Craig and I were trying to do is to open up more time for us to get out of the business. Having only a couple reports was helpful for me. One of my weaknesses is I'm not a great manager. So managing too many people it wasn't a happy thing for me. And you know, personally for me, I think even as an entrepreneur, you know, you need to know what your strengths and weaknesses are. I can build on that strength of not being a great manager, but I always want to keep what I'm doing fun. So I have two great people that work for me on that report to me, and I work with them, and then everything else reports to my COO. You know, in our strategic meetings, we'll have, you know, financial aspect in it, the operations aspect in it. I'll have my general manager at at our call center in Mexico report up. And then we'll have sales, and then Craig and I, and we'll also have a facilitator in our strategic meetings. So,
cool. Could you talk a little bit about, I guess, your relationship with a COO, and then also when and how you guys chose to bring that person on? This sounds like you used to play some of that role, and then you evolved out of that and brought that person in to do more management.
Yeah, We've had that role for a while now. Actually, the person was had experience in the past with other centers. He was in a sales role. We moved him into during one of the turnarounds, which we had a few turnarounds. We ended up moving him from the sales position and into an operations role. He was shined during that experience, and he's been running in that capacity for a while now. So. I used to do that, but the bigger you get, obviously you got to off some of that, and he was a good fit for it. So I think it's important for everybody to understand, you know, what are they good at, what are they not good at, you know, what are they investing to optimize or to work on their weaknesses. I think biggest part of it is being aware of that and working on it, and then just making sure that you're living in what you're really good at. You know, for a while personally, I was trying to take on too much, and you know, Craig kept on saying, "Tony, you're doing too much. You're doing too much." So, as an entrepreneur in a startup with a high growth, we went through an awful large growth curve. So, you know, I was trying to handle way too much, and I was afraid to give away the control. And then when I was vulnerable enough to give that up and, you know, surround myself with people that were better for me in those jobs, because I knew those weren't my jobs. They were just my jobs for the startup. You know, my life got a lot better. So be aware of that as a young entrepreneur.
Cool. Yeah. Actually, I guess if you could note a little bit more on that letting go process, I guess, especially in your role, given that you're more of the operational role.
I think letting go, I guess my biggest thing on that would be knowing what your KPIs and being able to measure and what your frequency of measuring the results that you're looking for.
I think it's easy to let go. Make sure you have frequent check-ins with the people. Coach, ask a lot of questions. Hear what they're saying. Be a good listener. I think those are a lot of traits of the next level of being an entrepreneur is, some of those things.
So Craig, do you also do coaching with people in the company, or is it mostly Tony and other management?
It depends. Like, I work with the COO a lot because I get involved in execution on an on-and-off basis. So, for example, we have a great story of, I mean, it's not a great story, but it is a good story. We left for a Maverick trip in Africa, and when we were halfway through the trip, one of our clients went to retail and took our phone call volume like in half, and we went from making $50,000 a week to losing $70,000 a week almost overnight. And so when we got back to the office, we kind of tried to enjoy the rest of our trip, knowing that the trip got a lot more expensive. That last week in Africa cost us $70,000. So when we got back, we both went into a different type of execution mode. Tony got on with all of our vendors, worked on cutting our pricing, optimizing our systems and the integration, and I went down to the center and figured out a plan ultimately to reroute the entire call volume that we were taking to have more of our better agents take more calls. I cut the commission plan by 300%, but at the time that I did it, most of our best agents were only taking 100 phone calls apiece because we had set up the call center in categories like kitchen, fitness, wellness, beauty. And so what we did was I took all those top agents and I said, we're gonna cut your commissions by 300%, but I'm going to give you 400% more calls. And we just drove all of our call volume to our best performers. And week by week, our performance improved. Clients started buying more media again. We ended up doing over $1 million in profit in the fourth quarter after losing around $500,000 trying to do that turnaround. I guess the story around that is we both have different things that we do in execution. And in that particular instance, I worked side by side with our operations guy in Mexico because we had to put a plan around how we were going to do the turnaround. Tony was kind of more independent working with the finance guy, our finance guy. So at that point, I was all operations, in that particular moment. So I kind of move in and out, and that, not having anybody report to me kind of allows me to go where I'm needed to go when there are areas that my strengths can be utilized.
Got it. I like that. I can relate to it, too, being kind of like you're multi-talented. You can jump into different areas and know you can perform well in them if the company really needs it, but not taking that on as a core daily responsibility as part of the structure. Love that. What do you guys do in supporting each other and playing at your best? Like what's, between like the idea, well, I guess, yeah, that as an open question, what do you guys do in supporting each other and playing at your best and continuing to work on this relationship to ensure that it keeps serving the company in the best way?
I would say that we don't bullshit each other. We call each other out on their bullshit. As an entrepreneur, sometimes you have an ego and you can get caught up in that. Craig and I have an understanding that we just need to be real with each other and not sugarcoat stuff. So I think that serves the relationship. I guess not giving up on the other person is the other thing. We've been business partners for a while. We've had our ups and downs. We've had our arguments, our disagreements. We've celebrated things together. But, at the end of the day, it's like a marriage. We've got a commitment, and we have, shared values. So at the end of the day, our job is to grow the business together, and we're committed to that. I think the other thing that, Craig and I share is that we know we're not perfect, but we're always willing to grow. There's a couple things that he and I are realizing in order to get to the next level of an organization that we want to get to on a revenue side. We've got to really look at our shadow in the past and say, hey, these things really aren't serving personally us as guys that are trying to get to the next level and transforming to that as leaders. But also as in the relationship that he and I have. So, you know, being okay with that. I think some people are, they're not okay with that type of relationship where they're both open to always looking at that side where you have to work on and saying, okay, I hear you. Let's do this. The other thing is Craig and I, we had a coach recently and he's like, you guys got to talk more. You know, we got caught up. I recently went through a difficult divorce, and that was tough. Kind of pulled me away for a bit. And during that time, I stepped away from the business, and I even stepped away from, you know, Craig in that relationship. So I think that, you know, the coach's opinion as far as, you know, just sit down outside of work and have breakfast. So that's one of the things that I look forward to, you know, with Craig, is just being outside the office, starting our day at breakfast and saying, what's going on? You know, personally, it's funny. We always start out personally. We, you know, what's going on with the kids, what's going on at home. And then we start opening up, you know, what's going on in business. What should we be doing? What do you think about this? And those are always healthy, you know, check-ins or recalibrations on the partnership. And, you know, recently I was reading about relationships and what brings happiness. And, you know, strong relationships bring happiness. And when I look at what I'm doing in business, you know, it's all about the relationships I have. So those touch points with Craig outside the office actually make me a happier partner because I feel like I'm more connected to him and connected to the business, and doing that makes us better.
Awesome. Right. I love that. What you just mentioned about the coach too, do you guys work with a coach together mutually, or do each of you have independent coaches or both? How does coaching work for you guys with the partnership?
I have a couple coaches that I work with now. I have two coaches. I have a health coach, and I have a personal life coach. We've had a business coach, and we're looking at you know, opening up a new business coaching opportunity with somebody else right now. So.
And was that business coach for you guys before mutual, or worked with each of you guys independently?
That was a thing that Craig and I had worked with the business coach together. I think it's I had done a probably one of the best coaching programs I've done in the past was a it was a year long program. It's called Stegen, and it was a leadership program. The 2x2 was one of the things that we learned in there, but it was a really well-structured program outside of some of the other personal coaches that we've had.
Awesome. So it sounds like if you guys had your ideal new coaching scenario would be something where they work with both of you. I ask so much of this because I'm evaluating the same thing for us, because I've had a coach for a while that I've worked with on and off, and I have other mentors. I don't think James has had as much of that, so we're evaluating different opportunities around that. And I imagine we're probably not the only ones as partners to experience that dynamic.
I think with the coaching, you know, we had gone through the whole, you know, when you look at Olympian athletes or professional athletes, they always have a coach. So whatever you're on your top of your game, I still think that a coach is really good, or an advisory board is really good, to make sure that you're not getting ahead of yourself. You know, coaches that we've had in the past, I feel like slowed us down at the right time. And it was, you know, one of Craig's saying is little hinges or small hinges swing big doors. And a coach actually, you know, allows to be that hinge to help you swing that big door with some decisions that you made strategically.
Cool. I guess that kind of relates a little bit to James. You had a really good question that you typed up in Skype for me earlier, so I could ask it, but would rather you probably.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, so my biggest question is, how do you guys support each other in other ventures that you do? In what capacity do you guys support each other? Obviously, you guys have some other companies besides the one you have together. And Dima and I obviously do that, and it's just something that we were really curious about, and see how you guys deal with that.
how we deal with sorry, I had somebody, I had left the coffee cup on the thing.
Yeah,
I had
so,
somebody give me a
coffee cup. How do you guys, Craig, you have another company. I think, Tony, you have a company. How do you guys both deal with the idea that each of you is working in other ventures, and if you have a supporting role in those or personally support each other in some way in your other ventures, how does that dynamic work and how does it affect your primary partnership?
Right now, our feeling is that so far, everything we've done, we've tried to do together. We haven't really tried to do something outside of what we do. I mean, Tony has maybe made an investment in something, or, you know, maybe I work on projects. But ultimately, I think if both of us see a project that potentially could work, at some point, you know, I try not to waste his time with stuff sometimes. But once I think that there's something there, I sit down with Tony and say, here's what it is. You know, obviously, if you want to participate in it, I want you in on it. If he didn't want to participate, he'd probably be fine if I did it. I can tell you the funniest story is when I was doing my music back in 2010, and I told Tony I needed T-shirts, and we ended up buying, I don't know how many T-shirts that we ended up buying.
Lots of boxes.
Yeah. So, all kinds of T-shirts. Sorry, you guys lost me for a minute on the webcam.
Okay.
So we bought hundreds of T-shirts that we brought out to this event to sell T-shirts, and we didn't sell any of them. We shipped back every box of T-shirts that we bought, and Tony was a 50% owner in this music venture, and he was going to get rich off of my music career, kind of being my music manager. And I don't think that worked out so well for him.
those were expensive T-shirts. Those were expensive T-shirts.
There was some good
kept them in storage. We kept back with this. We kept those T-shirts in storage for like maybe 2 years, and then we even tried to give them away for somebody to sell at a flea market. We couldn't even get rid of them. It was bad. So, yeah, but we do all the adventures that we've been working on are together. You know, a lot of the ventures that we're currently working, they our goal is to be able to spin off companies that support the growth of, I call, the mothership. So if the call center is the mothership, which it is, then what services or other companies that do a lot of business that need a call center could we spin off or create? So everybody's actually making money. Craig and I are making money in the call center, and you know, and that entity grows based on this new company that we start, and then we make money on that side of the business too. So,
cool. I like that. So everything kind of comes from the central nucleus, and then the other pieces support that primary business. Kind of similar to what Yana talks about with like ecosystems, rather than jumping into all different industries, finding a way to link them all up so that it feeds the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything is about focus. You know, I feel like when we're not focusing on the core, then, you know, we're just getting distracted and things tend to go sideways. Or sometimes it creates more work and it's not worth it. We're not having fun. So.
Got it. So I'll jump to an audience question. So Dan Russell, one of the next members, asks, how do you balance team integration of decision-making in the moments when you need to put your foot down and pivot things quickly? And that question makes sense to me. If it doesn't make sense to you guys, I could reiterate it.
We're both passionate about different things, but in our company, we're fortunate that we've got other people that are really friggin' smart. And so sometimes I think Tony and I usually feel like we have to be aligned. So if I'm really passionate about something, I'll go in Tony's office and really try to explain why I'm passionate about it. And sometimes he says, look, I don't think it's the right time. Go ahead and keep working on it if you want to. And if you can present it to me in a way that makes sense, then we'll do it. And I think there's other things that he pushes my way that, you know, sometimes I say, I'm not so sure about that. But I think at the end of the day, everything, if either one of us have been truly passionate about something, interestingly enough, we've said, okay, fuck it, let's do it. And I'm trying to think of something. That's what I'm looking up in my head. I'm trying to think of something where if he was passionate where I said, no, it's a bad idea, or if I was passionate where he said it's a bad idea. He said it's a bad idea, but if you're that passionate about it, let's try it. But his comments now, when he says it's a bad idea, a lot of times it makes me hesitate, because if he's not on board, usually he's got some good reasons, and I usually have to continue to explore what the idea is. I mean, yeah, so I don't know. What do you think, Tony? I saw you squinting a minute ago.
I would say that's a good question, and it's not perfect. That's the way I would put it. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. We're entrepreneurs. We go with our gut. You know, sometimes I'm right, sometimes Craig's wrong, but at the end of the day, you know, we respect each other's opinion. And you're not always right. So I think that, you know, with that, you know, one of the things I said was respect, right? I think you really have to respect the other person. If you don't have respect, then obviously there's lack of trust in the relationship. So, you know, at times, even though I don't agree with something, I have to respect Craig's opinion and wanting to go with a move. I mean, half the business is his business. So, you know, I respect that. He's a smart guy. So maybe I don't see something. But it's definitely not a perfect system. And I think you have to be okay with that. And the other thing is, Cena is not a perfect system. And Craig wants to go with something, and I'm like, okay, I don't see it happening, but go with it. But I have to let that go, and if it fails, it fails, and I got to let it go. And then we have to grow from that. But, you know, I've seen partnerships where you run into that problem, and I think the other partner held some resentment about, I told you so, and I don't think that serves a relationship. I think you have to be bigger than that and move on and look to see what did that learn you? What did you learn from that decision? And Craig and I have become learners versus know-it-alls. And I think that's a really important thing in the maturity of a partnership, is being able to understand that balance and support each other versus tearing each other down. And in the beginning of the relationship, actually for a while, you know, it was sort of dysfunctional because we thought it was funny to tear each other down. And, you know, it's not good on the leadership side, you know, because on the inside, Craig and I think that might be funny. But, you know, to the rest of the organization, as we get bigger, they're looking for leadership that is united. And, you know, that's kind of where, when I was talking about transformation, is where Craig and I are going through that transformation now, as far as being those leaders, those type of partners.
I love that. I can relate to that too. James and I have certainly had our experiences being very different people of how that gets communicated to the team. And in the last year, worked on being a lot more united in that. There's a cat behind you. That's fine.
Black cat.
Yeah.
A black cat.
It's not Halloween, is it? All right. So
I have another question as well. Can I interject?
What was that?
I have another question as well.
Yeah.
One of the big questions I had was, Tony, you'd mentioned transformational experiences. What's kind of the best transformational experience that you've had so far? I guess as partners or just individually?
Well, I would say mine's right now. I mean, I'm in a major transformation, whether it be my age, you know, going through the divorce, which was a difficult decision for me to make, but it was one of the best decisions I've made. You know, and it's just, it's a big turning point for me as far as where do I want to go with the rest of my life. So I'm going through that, asking a lot of questions, you know, really figuring out, you know, what is the shadow, the things that I'm afraid of, things that prevent me. What is my fear, right? And how is that holding me back in business? So I'm asking a lot of these questions. The other thing that Yeah, there's so many things that Craig and I have done over the years that allowed us to be, you know, that has transformed us into the people who we are today. There's a lot of different experiences that I've done. So I think networking has been a huge part of that. Mavericks has been a big touch point of awareness for me as well. So
cool. Craig, for you?
Well, I think, I mean, divorce is always transformational.
Good or bad?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my first divorce was long. I don't know, now it's been a while, probably 8 years ago. So just getting, you know, I mean, that was transformational for me. But really, I think that life throws you transformations, like, every year. I mean, something major. It sucks, but if you think that life is going to get easier as your business grows, it's going to get harder, you know. Cameron Harold explained it to Tony and I like this. He says, when you run a small business, it's like you're diving in your swimming pool. You can always come up for air. You know, to make payroll, you need $5,000. He says, well, as your business gets bigger and goes from 5 to 10 million, it's like you're diving at 70 feet. If you need air, you can always get to the top, and you might get the bends, but you'll live. When you do over $10 million a year, I mean, our payroll alone is $200,000 a week right now. If something happens in our business, we, you know, the air gets harder and harder to find. I mean, the turnarounds get harder. And I think we've had challenges every year, whether it was personal or business, and they flip-flop. Very rarely does life hand you both at the same time, both on the good side or the bad side. But every year, I think I've been blessed to have some sort of transformational thing slap me upside the head to make me realize that, you know, that this life isn't supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be about growth. And so that makes me feel like I'm supposed to enjoy the good times when they're there. I'm supposed to look for the positives every day because there's plenty of negatives around us all the time. So I don't want to pinpoint one transformational thing. I mean, the turnaround when we were in Africa was a transformational experience. The, you know, the growing into English, the rebranding last year that we went through was transformational. The divorce, my daughters and my sons and the challenges they've had as a parent, you know, are transformational in trying to figure out how you can be a better father or parent. Nothing's easy. And once you think you know something, you realize you really know nothing at all. So that's my answer. I can't pinpoint one thing. There's a gazillion transformational things.
That was a really good answer. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's super relevant for me and James right now too. We're going through some business transformations, both positive and negative, in terms of not negative but just challenging, while personal stuff is happening too, and all is kind of evolving and moving quickly, and we're moving.
Yeah. We're all on the right side of the dirt. Now.
And then
we're on the right side of the dirt. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah
right.
On the right side
positivity.
Of the dirt.
Yeah.
Cool. That's great. So just question, I guess, for the audience or for anybody watching this afterwards, just as far as either useful tools, mindsets, ways of exploring this, analyzing the self, what would you recommend entrepreneurs do, let's say, before they jump into a partnership, if they want to intentionally cultivate something that works really well? Because a lot of partnerships don't work out as well as it has for you guys or as well as it has for me and James. So whether they're books and resources or just mindset or something that you caution against, from either of you guys, what comes to mind?
I'll go first. I'll take the easy answers. I'll give Tony the harder ones. The easy answers for me are, Tony, number one, I don't think you should partner with somebody who is like you. I think that if I had two idea people, you know, that just focused on ideas, we never would have built the business because we wouldn't have the execution people to support us. So when we first started, I used to come up with a lot of ideas, and Tony used to rock the execution and manage the people. And, you know, and now we have a better team around us, and so it's easier for him to bring in ideas because we have other people that can help us both execute. So I think you want to find somebody who isn't like you, which will cause some differences if you don't know how to manage it because you're not alike in a lot of ways. I think the other thing is that as much as you can be unlike, I think the most important thing is you have to have the same values. And I think Tony and I have always had the same type of heart as a person. You know, I mean, I think when we die, if they pull our hearts out, we probably have some of the same wounds and some of the same, you know, whether you believe in God or energy or whatever, I think we probably have the same values. We both believe in putting forth 100% effort, 100% heart. We both believe in having each other's back. We both believe in always having a desire to improve. We both believe in having an open mind around things. We both try to do what we say and honor commitments, and we both try to
try.
Be positive and fun. Tony's going to say the word try doesn't belong in any of those. So we have the same values. People, I think, genuinely know we both have hearts that are pretty big, and we try to do the right thing and try to deliver on what we say we're going to deliver. So I think that's important, is the values have to line up. Go ahead, Tony. I'll let you add to my...
I'll echo that just really briefly. When I remember when James and I were considering partnership the first time the conversation came up at TNC like 2 years ago, and I was reflecting back to Allie in a private conversation afterwards. I'm like, wow, James is actually like one of those rare people that I would really consider partnering with because, and the answer was that exact thing, because we are so different in how we operate and what our strengths are, but we are so aligned in our values as far as how we connect with the marketplace, how we work with people, and what we actually want to create, work ethic, and all of these other things that on a values level align so well just from knowing each other briefly. So with that, Tony.
My thing is, it's a business partnership's like a marriage or a relationship. So like, look at what happens. Usually you court and you date each other. How do you guys complement each other? Who does the other person, what's the network of people that the other person hangs out with? Typically they're going to be a reflection of the friends. So I guess, you know, look at the things around the person that might give you clues to the integrity or the really how that person's going to show up when life gets challenging. Because I feel like when life gets challenging, which it does in business, like we just talked about, business and personal, when those things collide, the real person comes out. And, you know, that's where potentially relationships get tarnished, whether it be in a personal relationship or in a business partnership. So I would, you know, be aware of that, I guess.
Yeah. I think one of the other things... you can always, like, you write a prenup to get married. You could do a prenup in your business, too. I mean, I was talking to one guy about how he was trying to exit his business, and he created a software product with two other partners, and he wanted out. And they were like, well, great, go ahead, leave. And they weren't going to pay him anything. I said, look, and he wanted to use the software, too. I said, you don't have to just, I mean, you could license your piece of the software to them so that they use it with future clients. You get a licensing fee, and if you want to use it, you should pay your two partners, you know, a piece of that fee. But if you develop something new, you don't have to share it with them. There's easy ways to to get out of relationships that don't work. And like Tony said, I had two partners at one time before Tony. I was in like a three-person partnership, and it didn't work. And it just when times got tough, the two guys just looked at me and said, "Well, we don't need you anymore. We got all your contacts." You know, so I was like, "Huh," and it just didn't work out. You know, so. I ended up building another business that did more revenue than they were doing, and they begged and pleaded and said they were just joking with me. But whatever. You know, it didn't work out. And I ended up punching the guy in the mouth, one of the guys. That's when Tony was caught in the middle. Tony was working with me at that point, not his partner. And he's like, what do you mean he punched him in the mouth? And he didn't know what to do.
So Craig doesn't like three ways, and he's gone through anger management.
Tony told a funny.
Great. This is a perfect time to ask. Erica Lee had a question. How do you deal with each other's egos when that comes up, either in partnership or in relation to the team? What do you guys do to balance that out?
So what's funny about that question is I think Tony and I both, we've kind of come full circle. At one point, I was always proving myself because I was always like, Tony doesn't see any value in me. And Tony's like, always feel like he had to prove himself because we had this conversation. He goes, I always feel like you don't see any value in me. I think you learn over the years that most of what you think is happening is in your head. It's your own insecurities, not somebody else and how they feel about you. It's pretty funny. We both have probably a bit of an ego, but I think we, like he said, we just call each other on bullshit and try to hold each other in check. We've been humbled. Life has humbled us over and over.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Tony?
I got nothing to add to that. That's good.
Cool. Yeah, this is great. I'm just looking to see what other things we have. Also another one from Erica, and you guys might have insight on this from a partnership perspective, you might not. So she's asking more on a technical level, do you recommend anything for developing partnerships with more of like in the tech space when there's like a technical co-founder and then a total non-technical person and how to manage those relationships? And if you guys don't have insight on that, that's okay. I guess James and I might actually have insight on that.
Yeah, I don't have any insight on that. I think it goes down to what we're just talking about, as far as respect for the other person. I'm assuming you're in partnership when it comes to tech, and the other side is that you have to trust the other individual that they know what they're doing. And I feel like it's going to be a dysfunctional relationship if the person doesn't lean on that person. Because that's why we're in partnership, is because he knows or she knows that is what they're kick-ass in. Otherwise, there's a breakdown in the relationship. So, I keep on going back to relationship and trust, because trust is the foundation of any relationship. So in the partnership, if you don't have trust, then the partnership's going to be limited to some extent. Or it's going to be really tested at one point.
Yeah, I think that's really great as a foundation there. And Erica, I'll answer that also from a me and James perspective. So I'm clearly the non-technical co-founder, and James is clearly the technical co-founder. And then we've got another tech guy who's our CTO, Jonathan, who's amazing. And he and James used to be partners in the previous business before Vision Tech Team, and they were both on the technical side. So for me and James, at least, then we'll wrap kind of Jonathan into working with James on this. We try not to be ignorant of each other's roles, but we also fully trust each other and what our strengths are. So James understands enough sales and marketing and enough stuff around what I do to be able to have those conversations with me. And then when I push, whether it's for a client or for something in our business, if I push something on the marketing side, like, hey, this is what we should do and why, he can understand the language and clearly see why that decision is being made, even if from his expertise, that's not how he'd do things. And then same deal with me on tech, is I try to not be ignorant of what goes on, but it's also a huge relief for me to not have to actually know. Like, I can just trust what James says or what Jonathan says on a technical level and then be hands off. But I try to be aware enough of what goes on, because that's an important part of our industry and our company, to at least be able to have those conversations. So when they're telling me something, I'm trusting, but I'm also, there's a sense of inclusion, in those conversations and awareness. So I think whether you're seeking, you know, the relationship with a specific developer or more of a technical co-founder, or if you're more of the technical co-founder and you're working with a marketing person in that case, having a really strong foundation of trusting what the other person's expertise is, and then also even if it's getting them to educate you a little bit, understanding enough of what their expertise is to at least be able to have the conversation so that neither of you is totally in the dark on each other's strengths, but then you can trust each other to lead in the right areas.
Yeah. That was a great point. And my experience with that is on the finance side, is in the beginning of the business as we were growing, being able to know enough about the finances and the spreadsheets and how everything works, being able to inspect my CFO was really important in our meeting. So that was a great point that you made.
Awesome. Cool. James, anything else on your end? We are out of audience questions.
Yeah, I mean, obviously from the beginning, especially with a technical person over a non-technical person, I think that in the startup phase, it's a different portion because startup, obviously the person with the most leverage is the person who can actually build it. And the person that doesn't is once the, you know, the software or whatever is actually built, then the other person takes more leverage. So it's just kind of making sure that whatever agreements that you make are equal, knowing full well that there's going to be a portion after whatever it is that's built is built. So I think it's just kind of equality. I mean, the whole essence of equality is making sure that, you know, there's some sort of trust there that everybody knows what they're doing.
Awesome. Cool. James, any other questions for Craig and Tony from your end?
I was really curious about that 2x2 thought process bracket. I mean, that sounded really, really awesome, and you touched on it, and I didn't really interject when you were talking about it, but I really want to know more about that portion of it on the partnership side when you guys do your 2x2 bracket. Now, you called it something. I wrote down thought bracket, but I assume you call it something else. Do you know what I'm talking about, Tony?
Yeah, it's a 2x2, and I was going to forward that to you guys so you could post it. And I think I have even a short description of how that works and how it can be applied. I'll push that to you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, that would be great. And then we'll,
we've done a lot of work around preparing. Like, I think as partners, some of the things you do is sit down together and write your three-year vision of what your company is going to be 3 years from now. I think you both should write a version of it separately and then sit down and see how aligned you really are.
I like that idea, yeah.
But when you're talking about business tools now, and Tony and I have a lot of them, we have the strategic plan, which is an annual thing, your strategic finance plan, which is a financial thing, but we've got our vision, three-year vision, that we each wrote, and then we put it together, and we wanted to see how aligned we were on it, and then we actually both incorporated our different ideas and made sure we were fully aligned. So that was kind of a really cool process as to what type of company, what are we in 3 years? So you can keep your eye on that vision as to what the company is going to be, not what it is today. Some other business tools that we've utilized. Just open up a folder. What are some other ones we've used, Tony? 2x2.
I think the biggest thing is alignment amongst the organization. So, yeah. You know, in IT world, you guys might call them sprints. We call them huddles. Communication, I think email communication is one form. Sometimes it gets overused in organizations to get stuff done quick. Skype's good, but I think that knowing what your KPIs are and having a huddle around your KPIs to make sure that everything's moving forward and you're seeing, progression. Execution, if team members are stuck, it's an opportunity for them to raise their hand and say, I need help. So those are that's a big thing for us.
One of the things we didn't talk about, too, is while your company's small, if you have a partnership and you guys are both aligned on what your values are, you should put your core values together and create a hiring process that you both agree with while you're trying to grow. That brings your core values into alignment with the hiring process. And so I think we waited a little, we did it in a couple of years in, not too long, but it's taken us a while now to try to make sure that our culture implementation plan and our hiring process plan is all aligned with the values that Tony and I have. So I think somebody who's going into a partnership and you guys are saying, hey, you know, we're both different people, but we have same values. Let's find out what those values are and get five values or six values. Write them down and make them concrete. And then if you're going to hire a team around you, build your team based on your values first, and that will give you this opportunity to grow as well. So now that we only have 2 minutes left, I'm coming up with some great ideas.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, actually, when Dima and I created our partnership, that was the first conversation we had. We started the partnership with our value statements, so it's our hiring and firing model. So really, we came up with 80 or 90 different core values, got them down to about 6, and then Dima made them into an acronym for vision. So it was kind of the foundation of our partnership, and I think it's the most important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Do you guys, just one last question, do you guys use any kind of like plug-and-play business system? So, for example, we use Traction/EOS in our business. We're kind of exploring like scaling up /Rockefeller Habits as a next stage and pulling in pieces from that. Do you guys use that? Do you believe in those? Why or why not?
I think that any scaling organization needs to has to be a master of their systems. Scaling up in the Gazelles is one of the ones that we've been practicing for a while now. So it allows leaders of the organization to begin to lay down their vision on a one page like the Gazelles, and broadcast that across the organization and their customers, their clients, their partners. So everybody has an idea as far as who they're working with. I also think that one page and, vision statements is what, fuels the energy around organizations and employees. We've been looking at, employee happiness, and it's not all about the money. It's about the lifestyle of the employee. And, are they attached to the greater purpose of the organization? Craig and I have worked a lot on that. So I think purpose is huge in vision and making sure that everybody in the company understands what that looks like, what it feels like, and they're attached to it somehow. I feel like we've done a pretty good job with that. I feel like it's we can always do better, and we continue to check and measure it and see what we're not doing, what we can do better.
Awesome. Cool. I love it. Well, thank you guys. I know we're at the top of the hour here. Any kind of last thoughts, resources, tools that come to mind? I know we've got a lot here, and we'll post a recording with some notes and some of the resources you guys mentioned. And if not, that's totally fine.
You got one?
I don't know. I don't really have any last. I don't have last thoughts. I can't really think of anything that we haven't covered already, Tony.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I really appreciate the massive support here, guys. This has been really insightful. I could see even James smiling a bunch of times because there were things that you guys said that related to pieces of our journey, and also things you guys said that we're kind of looking into in the growth of our partnership and working relationship. So I think really valuable for us. I think we've gotten some feedback from some of the questions asked as far as just the appreciation there. And definitely appreciate your time, big time, and all the wealth of experience that you were able to share here.
Thank you. Did you actually hit a guy, or was that a metaphor?
No, you actually hit a guy.
Like
no, I hit him.
Oh, okay.
I slapped him, but I'm a strong guy. I knocked him out of his chair right onto the floor. He called me a couple of names, and I told him if he kept doing that, I was going to slap him.
And we did say he went to anger management, because that's not good.
We've had a previous business.
All right, yeah, so not a metaphor. Got it, yeah.
It's unfortunate that stuff happens, and, I've talked to the guy since, but, shit happens sometimes.
Awesome.
My closing comment is shit happens.
Yeah,
right.
It happens. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, awesome, guys. I just realized it says talking Yonex over every time I'm talking in here. That's great. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. Have an amazing rest of your afternoon, and I'll see you at the next Maverick thing. Again, super appreciate
you got it.
And I'll pass along the positive comments that we're getting from this class.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Bye, everyone.